An emphatic return to the Premiership for Leeds United will ensure a happy summer for many of the city's residents. Sporting success may help Leeds continue its strong run in drawing occupiers and investors to the city too. Yet there's no getting away from the fact that, like for many other cities, these are tough times. The council needs financial support to fund crucial services, and COVID-19 is putting pressure on jobs, businesses, whole sectors and communities too. I'm Damien Wilde, Editor-in-Chief of EG, and in this wide-ranging interview at our virtual Future of Leeds event, City Council Chief Executive Tom Riordan explains how he plans to address these challenges and how success on the football pitch can only help. Hello and welcome to this second session of EG's Future of Leeds event. As ever, there's so much to talk about, so I won't dither. Over the last 4 months, many local government leaders have shone. A very good thing is we've seen most national political leaders shrink. Tom Riordan, Chief Executive of Leeds City Council, is very much among those who have stepped up and stepped forward, clearly setting out the city's needs and warning of the consequences of them not being met. Tom, welcome and thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Damien.
So, Tom, you've been, I alluded to it there, you've been very vocal about the financial pressure the city's under and has been under over the last 4 months. Just how serious is the predicament?
Yeah, it's as serious as it gets, actually. We have a £64 million gap this financial year still. You know, as we have to legally set a balanced budget, if we don't get further help from government, that will lead to major problems in terms of public services and jobs in the city that will not wait until the end of the year. It'll be before then. So we're actively discussing with government how we meet that gap. We've been very welcoming of the support that they've given to businesses and to the council and councils more generally, but it's not quite done the trick. So we really need help in bridging that gap. And if we can do that, then we'll stabilise our finances and be able to play the role that we know we should do to make Leeds the best city it can be.
Okay, well, acute short-term pressure. And I do wonder whether a lot of us, you know, a lot of us in the country, you know, perhaps much of real estate as well, is underestimating how much Leeds and other cities will be changed by COVID. Is that the case, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of a bigger watershed moment in my life. And since the war, in terms of the impact this is going to have, just in terms of the a number of things, really, but particularly the way it's affected every single household. And the fact that we're working from home, many of us, I think there will be a desire for more of a balance. We've got 15,000 staff. We've got half of them working from home. We've just surveyed them all. And about 80% want to have more of a balance between being in the office and being at home, those office-based workers. We won't be untypical. I'm talking to big employers in the city, and I think there will be a move to that, you know, more of a balanced approach. I think people are different as well. Some people will love working from home virtually all of the time. I think some people have not enjoyed it, and those with young kids who, you know, we'll find it very difficult to balance the childcare responsibilities. Younger people who are living on their own, I think they'll want to be back in the city and in the office. But I think all of these things are going to be a real big change. The sustainability implications of that change in behaviour, the cost saving that people will get from not having to travel and the time they can spend with the family a bit more. All of these things, I think, will be reevaluated. And I think all of us will be looking for something that's greater balance for us. The other big thing for me is inequality. I think COVID has been like a laser beam on, you know, the worst excesses of inequality, the worst working practices, the unfairness in society that Black Lives Matter has brought out. And I think it's, you know, absolutely part of the next phase will be meaningfully addressing those issues in a way that will make a real difference to the people who are in that situation. So, you know, there's a whole range of things that I think are going to change. I don't think it'll be a massive one-off, singular change. I think it'll be a number of different things that will come in over a period of time. But things are going to be different.
I'm sure that work's only just begun, but one question that has come in from the audience, from Adam Rawkins at Savills, is will Leeds come back a greener city in the wake of COVID? And if so, how do you suspect it will do so?
I think it will do. We've already taken up some significant miles of cycle lanes and brought that in on the A65, a major arterial route into the city from the west. And the there's social distancing measures in the city centre have been that the road space has been reduced to accommodate pedestrians. And I think that won't be a temporary thing. I think we will be looking for a better use of space, public space, the ability for people to breathe more easily within the city centre. We have a clean air zone that that will be slightly delayed probably by this, but will I think will be part of a suite of things that we'll do to, you know, make the city centre in particular a better place to be. And I also think the Leeds is a very widely drawn geography. So we have a lot of district centres as well that are important to us. And, you know, I think they're going to do well out of this in terms of, more people, if they're working from home, will want to shop locally, socialise locally. They'll have more time to be with their families in those district centres. And, you know, that's not such a bad thing. So I think the whole issue of, all of us rushing into city centres at certain times of the day, every day, and rushing back home at certain times of the day, every day, that whole model of living our lives, I think, is the thing that we're all going to be reevaluating. And that, you know, that's got to be a good thing, I think, in sustainability terms, and it will lead to a greener Leeds. We've got plans for a big city centre park on the South Bank, and that's going to proceed. So, I think the future will be much greener.
Okay, and you talked about shopping locally, experiencing leisure time locally. Working locally is also on the agenda. And over last year particularly, it was such a strong year for investment, office investment into Leeds, which has inevitably slowed like it has for other cities this year. But do you see the work being more geographically spread as well?
Yeah, I do, actually. I think there's going to be a correction needed in the office market that will probably be quite painful to start with in terms of the sort of new office build that happens. But I also think that in the longer term, there is there will be a thriving office market in the middle of Leeds. It will just be different. I think it will probably make city centre living, residential, come back. I mean, it was coming back onto the agenda in a big way anyway, but maybe the density of that might change. The ability to have co-working spaces in those district centres, outside the co-working spaces that will need to reflect, social distancing, certainly in the short term. Will need to adapt as well. So, yeah, I think there's a whole range of things that are going to change. I guess the big question is whether COVID is here to stay permanently, or COVID-like problems are here to stay permanently, or whether we'll get a vaccine and then, people will revert to type, and we may find that the change is not as dramatic as it feels it will be at the moment. But whatever happens, I think there will be that psychological change for a lot of us, where I just think people will vote with their feet, and people will choose to live their lives slightly differently. And maybe that's not such a bad thing.
Do you think it would change your approach in terms of pitching for big occupiers? So, Channel 4 is coming to the city. Sky has been expanding its footprint in the city. Is that notion of cities competing for a very large trophy occupier going to continue?
I think it probably will continue, but I also think that, the reason why those brilliant organisations chose Leeds in the last couple of years haven't changed. So the fundamentals of the Leeds economy and our city and our plan for the city, our vision for it, very much is in keeping with what's, what we're talking about, in the sense that we we are making much better use of public spaces. We are trying to move to a greener public transport system. You know, we've never had that tram for many, many decades, and that, you know, that's back on the agenda. For example, we may have more space to develop it now. We still people will still want to be in those significant, well-connected regional centres in the UK. And if anything, I think the bigger question is probably for London, and the you know, whether people will need to be in a, you know, an international transport hub. I mean, the other big thing of this is international travel, where, you know, work for work, where I think, you know, there will be a recognition that you can probably not be flying off all over the world, meeting everyone at great cost, and paying real estate costs that are hugely high for your whole organisation. I think there will be, again, more of a balance. So I think London will adapt. It's a brilliant city. It's a world capital, and I think it will change. But we will probably benefit from some of that change, just as maybe the smaller satellite towns and cities around places like Leeds, Manchester, Birmingham will be helped by this as well. You know, so maybe there could be a plus to this, which is that more balanced approach to, you know, the growth of our economy and society, in a way that reflects what actually would be better for individuals.
Does it make transport connections across the north of England even more important than transport connections with London in that environment?
Yeah, good question. I think we need both. I mean, that's always our answer to that question. You know, why should we have to choose? I think it's, you know, you couldn't do without the M1 and you couldn't do without the Central Line in London. So I think we need both. But I think the links across the Pennines and the ability to get around the highly urbanised north of England belt across the Pennines is going to be, you know, as important as ever. And the more that we can speed that up and increase the ability to get between the great towns and cities of Yorkshire and the northwest, the better, I would say.
Okay, we've had a couple of other questions come in around business and relations within the city. And first one's on leisure from Akshay Demetra of Belfont Hotels. How fast do you expect existing hotels in Leeds to recover from the COVID crisis? Do you see a bright future for hotels in Leeds city centre? That's a business line that suffered terribly at this time.
It has, and I think that's where the vaccine and the treatments are so important, because I think once we get that, then there will be absolutely that bright future for hotels and in the middle of Leeds. And, you know, the hotel industry was doing incredibly well, and we're very proud of our relationship with the hoteliers. And, you know, the fact that we've had an events program that's brought the Tour de France there, the triathlon, and some fantastic music events, a new arena. So good Bruce Springsteen asked to open it. And with the genius of local government, we gave him a parking ticket. People may not know that.
We had more time to explore that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, it's a little story. That's one for the book. The hotels, I think, have got to weather more of the storm. That's going to be the challenge. I think there's more to come. And we need to build back up the best we can. We'll be working with them very closely. But I think after the vaccine, the treatments come in, that's when we can really kick on again. In the meantime, it's about working to get through this next phase with the hotels, I think.
Okay, slightly more.
Sorry, I was just going to say, with Premiership football hopefully coming back to the city, of course, that will bring many people in when we don't have to be behind closed doors as well. Not that I'm tempting fate, Leeds fans.
I'll come back to that, no doubt. And a slightly more broader question, Tanya Love of Faulkner Brown's Architects asks, what is the role of BIDs in the future of Leeds City Centre?
Yeah, I think the BID's got a really important role. We've had a very good relationship with the BID, and it's been very successful. I think still one of the biggest, if not the biggest, in the country, outside London. And we've worked with them to just make the experience of the city centre more enjoyable. And I think you know, so for example, the you know, the wardens that walk around Leeds City Centre and ambassadors who help direct people, I think will be more important in terms of explaining, you know, where people can feel safe and how they can, you know, work with the grain of the new developments in the city centre, like Victoria Gate and Trinity and the Arena, etc. So, yeah, I think the role of bids is going to continue to, in some ways, is going to be more important. And you might find smaller bids springing up in smaller district centres, I would guess, because, as I say, I think that will be, you know, the next decade, I would say, is going to see a resurgence, a big opportunity for district centres together with independent businesses to come back into their own in terms of that, not everything not having to be crammed into one place in a big city like ours.
Okay, and lastly, before I come back to football, Brian Sellers from Commonplace Digital asks, what plans have come out of the recent COVID-related consultations that affect the forward plan for the city centre and for the suburbs? So a bit more specifically around the consultation.
Yeah, the Connecting Leeds consultation, which we've done, which is about the transport system, is obviously bringing out very strongly people's desire for safe public transport. And so, you know, the plans on mass transit will continue, and the plans on HS2 are being solidified as well. The South Bank, I think, is going to be the really interesting part of the new development and of the city, and it's really expanding, almost doubling the size of the city centre to the south and across the rail from the railway station, and I think that's going to be really interesting in terms of the balance of you know, public space, the new park, cultural facilities, city living, you know, maybe more townhouse type developments that could be very interesting, that's coming out of the consultation. And then to the north, the innovation district with the universities, you know, we have the students coming back, we need to make sure that we're a safe city for international students and for students more generally, and that's going to be an important part of it as well. So yeah, really exciting times for the city, and all of that is going to be taken forward, maybe in a slightly different way, more greener, you know, more sustainable, better use of public space. Maybe the density issues will be slightly more, you know, more spread out than previously.
Okay, and we shouldn't underestimate the importance of Premiership football to a city like Leeds, should we? Perhaps nowhere more so than a city like Leeds with such passionate support. But talking to local authority leaders over the years and over the decades, you know, it's always been a cause of celebration and, you know, a real social and business benefit having that sort of status, and it helps put and keep a city on the international map as well. Are you making those sorts of calculations?
Completely. You know, Leeds has been had an incredibly successful period in the last few years with, you know, as we were saying before, Channel 4, Sky, Burberry, some fantastic brands choosing to come to the city, very good levels of inward investment, of housing development, of, you know, just people loving to come to the city. We're one of the most popular student destinations for those reasons. But it's done all of those things without devolution. Which is the deal's now signed, and we'll have a mayor coming in next year, and the combined authority set up, you know, with new investment, 1.8 billion, 38 million a year coming in to help us. And the other thing we've not had is Premiership football, and you know, we're a one club city. We've got a fantastic coach, Marcelo Bielsa, who has a worldwide following. He's quite a cult figure for, you know, coaches like Pep Guardiola and Pochettino and others. And he reflects the city quite well, I think. He's intense, he's passionate, he's successful, and there's a sort of otherness and an independence about him, a focus about him, which sort of reflects Leeds and Leeds United, certainly. So, yeah, we're really excited about that. And it will put us on the international map. As you say, it's, however good we've been at doing whatever we've done, without that Premiership football, you just don't have the reach that others do. And Leeds has such history as a club and, you know, as a brand, that there's many Leeds United fans right across the world who will be watching the City even more closely.
Well, that's a really uplifting note to end on, Tom. Good luck with that. Good luck with the challenges short term and long term. And thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Damien. Great to see you.
Thanks again to Tom Riordan there. That interview with Tom is covered in this week's EG, where every week we talk to those driving change in real estate and beyond. Don't miss them in the magazine, on Radius Data Exchange, and with many of them on our podcast channels too.